This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey everyone, Sid Evans here from Southern Living. I'll be back next week with a brand new episode of Biscuits and Jam, but in the meantime, check out this rebroadcast from last year when I chatted with the one and only Dolly Parton about Christmas, cooking, and chocolate-covered cherries. Enjoy, and I'll see you again here next week. Welcome to Biscuits and Jam from Southern Living. I'm Sid Evans, editor-in-chief of Southern Living magazine, and I'm talking with legendary musicians and celebrated chefs about family, food, songwriting, and Southern culture. I can't tell you how excited I am about today's guest. Her first name alone is known around the world, and so is her voice. Long before she became a huge star, she came from a little cabin and a poor family in the hills of Tennessee, but that never took away the magic of Christmas.
We believed in Santa Claus, but we lived far back in the mountains. He never found us. We believed in him. We figured he was going to find us one day. But in the meantime, we made a lot of things for each other, homemade toys Mom and Dad made for us. And so it was just a special time, Christmas season. You just felt different.
Dolly Parton is an entertainment icon, a beloved performer, and an inspiration in every sense of the word. As a prolific singer and songwriter, she's responsible for some of the biggest country and pop hits of all time, like I Will Always Love You, Jolene, Coat of Many Colors, and 9 to 5. She's also well known for her philanthropy, especially her Imagination Library Literacy Program, which sends almost 1 million children a free book by mail every single month. As she approaches her 75th birthday, she is more productive than ever, and seemingly never out of the spotlight. She stars in movies, publishes books, and even has her own theme park, Dollywood. Last year, she was the subject of Dolly Parton's America, a popular podcast taking listeners through her life and career and introducing her to a legion of new fans. With a recent holiday album and a new Christmas special on Netflix later this month, Dolly joins me today to talk about how the cooking she grew up with just has that certain special something.
We, to this day, all cook like Mama, me more than anybody, because I'm still willing to use the grease and the lard and the butter. A lot of my sisters try to cut all that out, but you can't get that good taste without all that stuff.
Plus, her favorite Christmas songs, how Dollywood will celebrate the season this year, and much more this week on a very special edition of Biscuits and Jam. Dolly Parton, welcome to Biscuits and Jam.
Biscuits and Jam, I love that. And I love biscuits and jam. I love biscuits with anything.
Where am I reaching you right now?
Well, I'm at my home in Nashville. So I'm just sitting here by my fireplace, my little nightdress, and sitting by the fire talking to you, just like a real Southern girl in real Southern living.
I love it.
I've had my biscuits and jam, by the way.
So, Dolly, it's October now, and you know that that means that we're already thinking about Christmas at Southern Living. I'm wondering if you can describe Christmas Day in the cabin where you grew up. Was there a highlight for you?
Well, you know, when you're growing up like that, Christmas was just a special time. Mama always made things special. She was just one of those special people that I've always said she could tell you anything, make it sound good. You cook anything, make it taste good. And of course, Daddy, you know, we just had simple life back then, back in the very early days. Daddy would always cut our tree and we would decorate it ourselves with all of our homemade ornaments and all the things that Mama would help us put together. And of course, Mama would always tell the story of Christmas. And it was just a joyful time. At that time, she read the Bible a lot, so we knew the real story. So she made that all come to life with us. And we believed in Santa Claus, but we lived so far back in the mountains, he never found us. So we believed in him. We figured he was going to find us one day. But in the meantime, we made a lot of things for each other, homemade toys Mom and Dad made for us. And so it was just a special time, Christmas season. It just, you just felt different. And it just felt, you know, like there's some kind of magic in just the whole idea of it being Christmas.
Did your family go to church on Christmas or on Christmas Eve?
Oh, of course. My grandpa was a preacher. And so we always celebrated our Christmas and our little presents and all on Christmas Eve. And then we would go to church on Christmas Day because my grandpa's church. So he insisted that we all knew the true meaning of Christmas. So we would sing all the Christmas songs, all the Great Silent Night, Little Town of Bethlehem, and all those great Christmas songs that were, you know, about Jesus, Go Tell It on the Mountain and all that. So yeah, that was always a big part of us, was going to church anyway on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights and Sunday school because of my grandpa. But Christmas, we would have felt like we would have been in big trouble if we didn't go to church on Christmas.
And did your mom do most of the cooking?
Yes, she did. Oh, she taught us girls how to cook. You know, there's five of us girls, and Mama didn't die till she was like 80. So all of us knew all the Mama's recipes, and we to this day all cook like Mama, me more than anybody, because I'm still willing to use the grease and the lard and the butter. A lot of my sisters try to cut all that out, but you can't get that good taste without all that stuff. But anyhow, yes, Mama taught us all to cook, especially my older sister Willardine and I. We were the two oldest girls, and Mama was always having a baby, so she was often not able to cook, or if she was sick, we would take over. So yeah, we knew how to do it, and even to this day, my sisters and I decide beforehand who's cooking what dishes, who's doing Mama's recipe on this, and when we get together at Christmas, you know, we kind of share the food.
I love that. So your mom and dad had a tradition with a box of chocolate-covered cherries, I believe. Can you share the story behind that?
Well, that was all they could ever, I guess, afford. Because like I say, we didn't have the money to buy gifts, but Mama would always buy Daddy a pack of handkerchiefs and a box of chocolate-covered cherries, and Daddy would always buy her a box of chocolate-covered cherries, and then they just swapped the box of candy. Of course, we all ate it, but it was just their tradition. And to this day, my husband and I do the same thing. I buy him a box of chocolate-covered cherries, and he buys me some. And so even on Valentine's Day, my husband and I buy each other chocolate-covered cherries for our Valentine's sweets.
So was there a Christmas carol or song that you loved more than all the others?
I don't think so. I just loved all of those great songs. And I did an album years and years ago, and I did a lot of those songs like Little Town of Bethlehem, Silent Night. And that was my very first Christmas album. And then I recorded again an album with Kenny Rogers. But I loved all those songs, really. I was always drawn to the ones about Jesus, like the ones that were so picturesque, Little Town of Bethlehem, and, you know, the things that are so visual. And so I loved them all. But I enjoyed, like, the fun songs. Like, I remember the first time I heard I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. I thought that was the cutest thing I ever heard. It was a woman named Teresa Brewer that had that song out. And she had a little voice, kind of like mine, kind of almost sound like a kid singing it. And that's why I put it in my new Christmas album, because I thought it was so cute. And with the work I do with kids through my Imagination Library, I thought, well, I need to put something in this new album of mine, you know, for the kids. So, but that was always a fun one. I loved all the fun stuff, like Santa Claus is Coming to Town, but I just liked them all.
So you have a new album coming out called Holly Dolly Christmas. It's your first holiday album in 30 years. Is that right?
Yes, and that 30 years ago, that was the one that I just mentioned with Kenny Rogers. And it, every year it just gets bigger and bigger and people love it. But I wanted to have one, you know, of my own. And then this crazy year has been so nuts in every way, I figured people weren't actually going to be able to get out and do Christmas like they normally do. And I thought this would be a perfect year to do a lot of Christmas things, and I thought the Holly Dolly Christmas was just a perfect little title for it, and I thought it just sounds funny and hopefully cute and fitting. But so it's got a lot of fun songs in it, a lot of the old traditional songs like Mama Kissing Santa Claus, Holly Jolly Christmas. I did that one, of course, and stole pop my name in there too. But anyway, we did some of those. I wrote a few of the new things, and I'm singing with a lot of great artists like Miley Cyrus is singing on one, her dad Billy Ray Cyrus is singing on one, my brother Randy and my niece singing on one. One of my nieces wrote a song that I'm singing with Billy Ray, and I did a song with Michael Bublé. I did one with Jimmy Fallon, and one of my favorite Christmas songs ever is a song called Pretty Paper that Willie Nelson wrote, and he did a duet with me on the album. So we had really a lot of great artists on the album.
I just love that you did that song with Willie, and I'm wondering, how did y'all do that? Did you record that song remotely?
Well, you know, we had to do that with the COVID. We really couldn't even, but you know, before that, I've told a lot of people, with the new technology these days, even before the COVID, a lot of sessions, a lot of musicians just work from their houses. So yes, we pretty much, we talked it out. We would call each other and say, you sing on this, you sing on that, you should take this verse, I'll take that. And so we sent my version, you know, when I'd sing it, and then Willie sang on his. But that's how we did it with everybody. They all sang in their own little studios at home or in their own safe environment. That's how we recorded all, but you'd never know it. But we pulled this whole thing off, and Kent Wells, who has been my band leader for years, he produced the album. So he was really, really, you know, important on getting all the pieces pulled together.
Well, it just sounds wonderful. And I've got to ask you about a song on there called Mary, Did You Know?
Oh, don't you love that song?
I do. And it seems very personal because it's really about the meaning of Christmas. And I'm just wondering what that song means to you.
Well, it means a lot. That little song is being recorded every Christmas by somebody. It's been around for a while, but I just keep thinking it's going to make a big hit with somebody. And I just love the song. And I'd had several people say, you need to record Mary, Did You Know? On your Christmas album, your voice is so suited to that. And of course, that message really rang true to me. And so I think just the whole idea of somebody talking to Mary, did you know that God was going to choose you to bring the King of Kings into this world? And did you know that? How did you feel about that? It's such a personable song, so well written. I did not write it. A lot of people think I did, but I wish I had written it. But I just love what it says and how it says it. And that's one of my favorite things in the whole album. It truly is what Christmas is about.
Dolly, would you mind singing just a little bit of it?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save your sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you deliver will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your... Anyway, it just goes on to talking about, did you know this child that you delivered would one day deliver you? You know, it's just such a well-written song.
It sure is. Well, so you also have a new Netflix musical coming out called Christmas on the Square, and it was directed by a fellow Southerner and a friend of yours, I believe, named Debbie Allen. And I'm just curious about that connection and how that came to be.
Well, actually, Debbie Allen, she directed it and she choreographed it. But Debbie and I have been friends for at least 35 years. So we met early on in our early days in LA through my friend and my manager, Sandy Gallen, who passed away a couple of years ago. But anyway, we met through him. And so we just stayed friends. And Sam Haskell, I guess he represented Debbie as an agent. Sam Haskell, who is executive producer and my partner in our production company that's been producing all these things. Anyway, he had known her also. So when we got ready to do this musical, I wrote all the songs for it. And Sam said, "What do you think about Debbie choreographing and directing?" And I said, "I think that's a brilliant idea." So that's kind of how that happened. And it was a great idea. So she did a wonderful job. We had Christine Baranski, who's a great actress, and Treat Williams, who's a great actor. We just had the best people in the show. And I wrote 14 original songs and bits and pieces of several more. Anyhow, it's coming out on November 22nd, I believe, on Netflix. And so I'm excited about that. It's called Christmas on the Square, but I also, in that version, in the musical, there's more Broadway sounding, the big time orchestration and all that too. But I did a bluegrass country version of it because I love the song, but I wanted to do it like in a country town square, a countryer, a little countryer than what we did in the musical. But I also wanted to bring a couple of songs in from the musical so I would be able to promote both at the same time. So anyway, we got a collection of everything. So I'm excited about the Netflix Christmas on the Square musical. I'm hoping that people are really going to enjoy that. So we've got a holly dolly Christmas all around.
There's much more with Dolly Parton after the break.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome back to Biscuits and Jam from Southern Living. I'm Sid Evans, and we're talking with the one and only Dolly Parton. Dolly, you mentioned the album that you did with Kenny Rogers, which was called Once Upon a Christmas, and we lost Kenny Rogers this year, and I'm just wondering if you could share a Christmas memory of your friend.
Well, I loved Kenny. I mean, we were so close. We were really like family. And absolutely, it was like losing a family member, a dearly loved family member, when Kenny passed away. Kenny and I had a great time. No matter when we worked together, we just had a warped sense of humor. I got him completely, and he got me. And we couldn't get away with anything with each other. We'd bust each other all the time on stuff, and in a good way. But the thing I think I remember most was actually doing that Christmas album, because that was back when we weren't sending everything out. We were recording in the studio with real musicians. The singers were in the studio also, but we did it in July. And so we had the whole studio decorated for Christmas with snow, the trees. We'd bring each other a new present every day when we were working in the studio, wrapped up a little present. We'd decorate the studio, you know, with ribbons and some wreaths and, you know, just a little Christmas stuff to make it feel like Christmas. But Kenny was precious. And I also lost another dear friend, also from Texas, one of my co-writers and buddies that I worked with yesterday. Mac Davis passed away. Yes, and we wrote a lot of songs together. And he, of course, has written some of the greatest songs of all time, like In the Ghetto and Stop and Smell the Roses, Watching Scotty Grow. But anyway, he and Kenny were very much alike, and they were good buddies. They were both from Texas. So I've lost a lot of my dear friends in the last few years, and that hurts a lot. But I really think of Kenny every day.
Mm. Well, Dolly, I've got to ask you about Dollywood. I know that Christmas is a huge thing there, and I'm just wondering what y'all are doing this year and what you're excited about.
Well, of course, like everybody else, we took a big, big hit with the COVID. And when we did finally get to open, we were smart about it, and we've done really well. In fact, we're doing better than most all the parks in the United States as far as like the success we've had coming back and all that. So we're not totally up to, you know, regular standards with what we usually do. But we are excited about our fall festival, the Luminites, and that's going to be a big thing. And we're going to go ahead with our Christmas with all those millions of lights and all the shows and stuff that we have. And so we're excited about the fall winter season. If things continue to go well, we're very alert. We're doing all the things that are right, the social distancing, and everybody has been good enough to wear a mask and not make a big deal of it. Of course, everybody has their choices to make, and I respect and understand all that. But I really believe that if there's anything we can do to stop this virus and to keep control of it, that we should. But we're hoping to have a wonderful Christmas season there as well, unless something happens where we don't know yet.
Yeah, everybody's just got to kind of be ready for anything.
Yes, we do, and we have to be smart. We don't need to be rebels about a thing like this because we don't really know how bad it is, but we can see that it's not good, and there's to lose one life is bad enough, but to lose, you know, thousands, hundreds of thousands, and millions more worldwide, you know, with the virus. So it's evidently something real. And since we don't know, and I think that's the greater fear, I call it the panic-demic more than the pandemic. I think people have panicked, and understandably so. But until we get control of it and find a cure, I think we should all be as smart as we should be and not be a dumbass on any of this stuff.
Well, Dolly, this has been a difficult year for so many people on so many levels. And I just want to ask you about a song that you released back in May called When Life is Good Again. What were you feeling when you wrote that song?
I was feeling just what I said in the song, where it's, you know, talked about when life is good again, I'll be a better friend, a better person when life is good again. And I'll open up my heart to let the whole world in. Not that I wasn't a good person, but I think God is in everything. I don't know that he caused any of this, but I believe he's given us the opportunity to do some soul searching, look at ourselves and look at the things around us and to see, you know, what we can do to even be better. And I just thought, well, I know that this will pass like all things do. And hopefully when it does, we'll be better people, that we'll be able to treat each other with a little more respect. And the fact that it happened worldwide at the same time, when we have so many problems around the world, I'm hoping that some of us have learned some good lessons from it. So I was just thinking that I just want to do better when we get back on our feet, just to try to make the world better, try to make myself better, and try to do everything I can to uplift mankind and to glorify God in a better fashion.
It's a beautiful song and a beautiful thought. Dolly Parton, thank you so much for being on Biscuits and Jam.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'll be anywhere for Biscuits and Jam. So thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to my conversation with Dolly Parton. Southern Living is based in Birmingham, Alabama, and this podcast was produced and edited in Nashville, Tennessee. If you like what you hear, please consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or telling your friends about the program. You can find us online at southernliving.com and subscribe to our print publication by searching for Southern Living at www.magazine.store. Biscuits and Jam is produced by Heather Morgan Schott, Chrissy Tiglius, and me, Sid Evans, for Southern Living. Thanks also to Ann Kane, Jim Hankey, Danielle Roth, Andy Bosnack, Matt Sav, and Rachel King at Pod People. We'll see you back here next week for more Biscuits and Jam.